Welcome to The Holistic Entrepreneur with holistic nurse practitioner, author, and success coach, Bonnie Gressel. Bonnie will support, nurture, and inspire you by helping turn your life's passion into your life's work. Now, please welcome the host of The Holistic Entrepreneur, Bonnie Gressel.
Welcome, everyone. This is your host, Bonnie Gressel, here at The Holistic Entrepreneur Talk Radio Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. If it's your first time, welcome. And if you've tuned in before, welcome back. I'm going to share another great guest with you today. Pat Rulo is with us. So it's going to be another great show. You know, to me, being a holistic entrepreneur is really more who you are than what you do. You come from that heart-centered place in your work, and you truly want to make a difference in the world. I know that we're all meant to do great things, to be happy and to be prosperous. And we're going to hear about some of those things from our guest tonight.
Pat Rulo is an author, national radio talk show host, and a sought-after speaker. In 2012, Pat teamed up with Millennium Star Publishing to produce a radio show based on her book, Speak Up and Stay Alive, the Patient Advocate Hospital Survival Guide. Pat also speaks nationally on this subject, educating groups, clubs, organizations, healthcare, and hospital providers. Before the end of their first anniversary, the radio show became a broadcast success, which quickly was picked up by stations across the United States, as well as iHeartRadio, and is now available on over 5,000 stations on XDS Cumulus Satellite. In early 2014, the publishing company approached Pat about adding a radio show network to their current services. Now, she thought it's not easy to accommodate thousands of people with different listening styles and different schedules. So they created a listening model that allows listeners to control their listening experience. At Speak Up Talk Radio Network, Pat and her team have created the most innovative way to please both the hosts and the listeners by streaming shows 24/7. They're always on for you. Pat is also nationally known as a speaker and coach in the insurance industry and is recognized through consulting psychologists press as a certified administrator and interpreter of the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator, which is an assessment instrument that provides in-depth insights into personality type and behavior. Pat is an author of numerous magazine articles as well as books, and she's the founder of a charity called Support Our Troops. So please welcome, help me welcome in joining Pat Rulo to the show today. Thank you so much for taking time today, Pat.
Oh, it is my pleasure to be on your wonderful show. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited that you're actually able to be here. I'm just glad that you're okay and it wasn't worse than it was. I'm just, you know, so happy that you're here to be able to be here and actually, you know, talk to us on the air and share with our listeners. You know, I gave a little bit of your bio certainly, but you have quite a story. You know, what leads you to who you've become today and writing the book that you did. Can you tell us a little bit more about your journey, Pat?
Sure, I would be glad to. It was in 2008. My mom was a 78-year-old, happy, healthy young lady, and she was working in a bridal shop. That's where she worked. My dad had passed away many years ago due to colon cancer. And one day as she was bringing a veil from the stockroom to the showroom, she tripped over a 2-inch building code violation. It was a threshold between the two rooms that was not supposed to be there, but the city never came back to take care of it, to make sure it was taken care of, and the owner never bothered to fix it either. And my mom was one of the youngest gals working there, so we had people well in their 80s who had to remember to walk over this threshold. And one day she tripped and missed it and fell, and in order to avoid smashing her face, she blocked the fall with her shoulder, which then demolished that entire arm to the point that they could not repair it and had to replace it, and they did a total reverse shoulder replacement, which was a fairly new procedure, only approved for about 4 years then. And while she was in the recovery room, and I'm abbreviating this story quite greatly, but as she was in the recovery room after the shoulder surgery, she kept complaining that she didn't feel well. And no one really did anything about it except give her a sedative. Bottom line, she was having a heart attack for 9 hours in the recovery room. Meantime, they were taking EKGs that clearly said in English, acute myocardial infarction in progress. But nobody did anything about it. And the way I found out about it was the next morning, a doctor who I didn't know found me in the hallway, took me by the arm, and just pulled me into a small conference room, handed me a manila envelope, and he said, this stinks, and you need to do something about it. So inside, I was scared to open it, but when I opened the envelope, were 4 EKG rhythm strips with those squiggly lines that I didn't know how to read, but I didn't have to be a doctor to know how to read them because it said in English, you know, heart attack in progress. So I now was in a very interesting position in that I knew what happened, but nobody ever spoke it to me. No one told me this is what happened, and we spent the next 4 months in the hospital on every piece of life support possible in just very tenuous situations. And each day, crazy and horrible things were happening simply because people were making mistakes and not paying attention. And I knew from day one that there was no way I was going to leave my mom. And so I stayed with her pretty much around the clock for the next 4 months and saw some unbelievable things that led me to eventually write the book.
Yeah, it's just such a journey. Every time I've heard you tell this story before, and every time it's even more not unbelievable, because I know those things happen. I mean, I'm a nurse practitioner and I've worked in hospitals, but oh my goodness. And how many people don't have the luxury or ability to have a family member or somebody there with them, that they're kind of on their own, you know? It was so awesome that you were able to be able to spend time with your mom. That must have taken a toll, though, you know, on your family and all that sort of thing, having to sort of live at the hospital.
Absolutely. I mean, I actually had to quit my job. We had a really nice insurance business, and you know, with sales, if you're not putting something in the pipeline a couple of weeks later, nothing else is going to come out. But I just thought, whoa, there is no way. How could I even concentrate on work when I knew what had happened, and that if some extra set of eyes and ears and a mouth weren't available to look after my mom, that she wouldn't make it. So, you know, thrown in a situation sometimes where you just do what you have to do in the moment and think, I'll worry about that later on. And that's how it all came about.
Wow. And how is your mom today?
In very bad shape, actually. The arm is coming apart. The prosthesis is pulling apart. So the metal is pulling from the plastic. And she's in such pain that she can't use it. And she's got congestive heart failure and COPD. And right now we're in a situation where one of the sternal wires from the heart surgery is poking through her chest skin.
Ooh.
Yeah, so now when a piece of clothing hits that, it causes her to fly to the moon. So we're in the throes of figuring out how do we have to get that surgically removed as well. So it's been one trip after the next, and it's just such horrible things happen. One day I just thought, wow, what am I supposed to be getting out of this? Why did this happen? Not just to my mom, but to the whole family. It changed the whole family dynamic and our career as well. And I was just feeling so angry and almost like post-traumatic stress disorder. I thought, I've got to get this out of me. The best way I knew how to do was to write about it.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. And there are so many people that are benefiting from that. Now, we're going to take another short break, but when we come back, we're going to hear more about Pat's journey and some of the challenges that she faced, you know, getting to the next chapter, sort of writing the book and getting those things out, because I'm sure there were some of those. So I'm your host, Bonnie Gressel, at the Holistic Entrepreneur Talk Radio Show, and we're going to be right back.
You're listening to The Holistic Entrepreneur with your host, Bonnie Gressel. The Holistic Entrepreneur is sponsored by MNB Global Solutions, providing individualized coaching for entrepreneurs and authors, as well as book editing and publishing services. To learn more, go to mnbglobalsolutions.com.
Well, welcome back, everyone. I'm your host, Bonnie Gressel, at the Holistic Entrepreneur Talk Radio Show. And we're here today with Pat Rulo. And she was just telling us about the just unbelievable story of her mom's situation in the hospital and all the things that happened. And Pat, would you tell us a little bit more about, you know, now you wrote the book, Speak Up and Stay Alive. It's sort of a way to help other people so that they don't have to go through the same, you know, potential mistakes, and that at least they were more informed during hospitalizations and healthcare. Can you share a little bit about some of the challenges maybe you had putting that together?
Yes. Actually, I think I wrote it initially almost from a selfish reason. I was just struggling with it so much. I was having these crazy thoughts of these horrible things that happened to my mom would just constantly be overwhelming me. And I had written books prior to this, and I was a public speaker before. And one day I just thought, you know, I've got to get this out of me and on paper. And it was very cathartic for me to put some of those stories in place and then go back and recreate and look at what some of those hazards were, and then did hours and hours of research where I interviewed doctors and nurses and hospitals and patients and advocates and just tried to organize it in such a way that it made sense. So that was really the reason why I did it, was just to get it out of me. And it kind of morphed into what it is today, not only the book, but that led to speaking events, which then led to the radio. So, I mean, there's been challenges that obviously came along with every one of those processes of getting the book published and then putting together the speaking events, and I'd never done radio before, and just that learning curve involved with that. But, you know, when you've got something that fuels your passion, figuring out the path to get it out there actually was fun. You know, it was a challenge, but it was a learning experience for me, and it was fun along the way.
Yeah, you know, I think that's so true. What you said that you really wrote it in, at least initially, for you, because it was a very cathartic experience. I find that with so many authors that when it's about a situation or something that's happened to them or their family, that the first time they write the book is really for that, to just get it out, and it is a very healing experience. And then being able to take a step back and say, okay, now, how can I use this, you know, to help other people? And, you know, I think you talked about this a little bit in the beginning of the show. Sometimes it just happens by, you know, it just happens. We don't even plan it. But people come up to you and opportunities present themselves and people want you to share more. Then it just kind of happens. Did you find that to be your experience?
Exactly, and you said that very clearly in the beginning of your show today, where the purpose finds us. The purpose finds us, and I wrote that down because I think that's huge. You can sit and try to figure out, okay, how can I make this happen, and what can I talk about? Well, maybe just look at your life's experience, and again, look at some of the things that happened to you, and that purpose will find you. And if you feel passionate about it, that's half the battle, or even more than half of the battle, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have a big enough why. You have to have that passion. And if I always tell people, if you're passionate about something, the rest is going to fall into place, probably, you know, because you're just so into it. So in terms of publishing, you said you had some challenges publishing the book. Talk a little bit more about that. I'm curious, and I'm sure our listeners would love to know if they're thinking about writing a book. Okay, what are some of the challenges I'm going to need to think about?
Well, one of the biggest challenges of writing a book is thinking about how it's going to get published. And in my mind, I did not want to wait to find a publisher and put it out there and see if somebody wanted it, because I knew they probably didn't. It's not the kind of book that's, you know, it's not going to be on the bestseller list. And so that's when I decided to self-publish it and do that myself. So I had to take on that whole self-publishing process and read about that and study about that. But with that, I had quite a bit of control then as to when the book was going to come out and what it was going to look like. So that whole self-publishing thought is, I think, an interesting way for a writer to go if they want to, you know, get something out in a hurry. And I wasn't looking to write it as a bestseller. I was looking to say, hey, here are the hospital hazards. You need to know, understand what they are and why they happen, because when you know those two things, then you will be educated and empowered enough to avoid them from happening to you.
So I think the whole publishing process for me was about control and mm-hmm. the time factor. I didn't want it to take forever. I needed to get it out there.
Yeah, exactly. And to me, in terms of how I look at it, is you lose so much control when you're working with especially a traditional publisher. But mm-hmm. to maintain that control, especially with the message that you had to share, I think, yeah, I can see where that was really a big piece. Now, I've often wondered, and I might have even asked you this before on a previous, you know, radio show or something, how does the healthcare, you know, because, you know, you give talks to healthcare professionals and in hospitals and things, and you're saying kind of like, okay, these are all the mistakes these guys are making. How do they take that? I mean, how does that go?
That's a really good question, because I actually had that question myself when I initially got into this. I thought, people aren't going to like me. Mm-hmm. but that's okay. I've crafted the message in such a way, actually quite honestly, in that I am not pointing fingers outward. I am not pointing fingers at doctors, not hospitals and nurses, and saying bad people, because I don't believe that. What I do think is that some of the systems are bad. Some of the systems are set up so that they are not going to succeed and they are going to fail. If you have a nurse who is very well qualified but now has to work, you know, 18, 20 hours, and they're covering 8 to 10 sick patients all by themselves, do you think an error is going to happen? Well, probably yes. So yeah. my message is, let's point that finger back at ourselves and say, all right, these are the things that can and do happen. What can I do to protect myself and make it better? And what I did find was that hospitals are very willing to hear this, because they're getting paid in part by Medicare on patient satisfaction survey scores.
Yeah.
And so they want their patients to be satisfied.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I want to talk more about this. We have to take a short break right now. But when we come back, I want to talk more about that, because you're so right. It's the systems. It's not the people. They don't mean to make mistakes. So this is Bonnie Gressel at The Holistic Entrepreneur, and we're going to be right back to hear more about what Pat has to talk about.
Are you one of the millions of people who struggle to relax, sleep well, or even lose weight? Have you ever wondered why it's so hard? If you think your brain might have something to do with it, you're right. Now you can learn how to access the powerful energy of the mind-body connection with the Ultimate Health and Wellness Gift Set, a 4-CD collection of guided meditations from holistic nurse practitioner Bonnie Gressel. You can use them all for yourself, or split the individually wrapped CDs into gifts for friends and family. The Ultimate Health and Wellness Gift Set includes all of Bonnie's popular CDs, including Restful Sleep, Relax, Meditation for Busy People, and Weight Loss. To get your copy of the Ultimate Health and Wellness Gift Set, go to BonnieGressel.com and click on the Products tab. That's BonnieGressel.com.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Bonnie Gressel, here at The Holistic Entrepreneur. And we were just talking with Pat about, you know, talking to healthcare professionals and hospitals and not pointing the finger, but sort of emphasizing that it's the systems and it's not the people who mean to make mistakes. And Pat, I want to hear more about that, because I worked in a hospital and clinics and all those things, being a nurse and then a nurse practitioner. And I know I would just like, oh my God, if I thought I maybe made some sort of a medication here, I couldn't sleep for like days. I felt horrible. So people don't mean to do those things, but you're right, it's the system. So I hope that the organizations and people who control sort of the systems can do something with the messages that you're getting from people like you. So I would imagine that when you talk to healthcare providers, that you're finding, as long as you're, you know, talking to the nurses and the physicians, that yes, they're in agreement that yes, something has to be done. It's got to be safer. I can't work 24 hours in a row.
Exactly. So many conversations I've had, and with nurses especially, where they say, boy, the profession is no longer what it used to be. They yeah. spend so much time with paperwork and you know, now with the computers and the electronic health records, that they don't have time to tend to the patients. And yeah. what a sad comment that is.
Yeah.
So yes, they are sympathetic to it, but then what can they do? I mean, that's their job, and they have to do that. So I think that the healthcare system really needs to provide that space and that culture where the patient is allowed to speak up and ask that doctor or nurse, please wash your hands before touching me, and not feel frightened to do so, that they're going to have some kind of, you know, horrible repercussions, that they're going to get worse treatment, which actually in some instances is the case. So it's a very delicate dance to be able to be an empowered patient and push it just so far, and then, you know, depending on the group of people you're dealing with, you may or may not get a great reception to that. So it's scary.
Yeah. I remember, this is just that sort of a little side note, but when I was in, after our accident, I was in a coma, and obviously I couldn't fend for myself, and my family was around. My mom was there, and other people as well. But there was one nurse that said, well, I don't know why you're talking to her. She can't hear you anyway, because she's in a coma, you know, and that's a horrible thing to say. My mom actually went to she said, who's the supervisor? And she went to them and she complained. That nurse was never on my case the whole rest of the time that I was there.
Exactly. I had something similar where my mom had the tube down her throat, and it was taped to her face, so she couldn't speak. And there was a night nurse that used to say to her, oh, I can't understand your gibberish. I don't think my mom spoke gibberish, and she certainly couldn't speak with this tube down her throat. So again, similar as to what your mom probably did, I went in and said, hey, this gal is not allowed in this room anymore.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, it's sad because not everyone, you know, everyone who's a patient in a hospital or whatever has somebody to go to bat for them if they can't, you know, do it themselves.
Yes, and that is my message, that you really do need someone to be with you. Does not need to be a trained medical person, just somebody who cares, that's willing to speak up. And again, I mentioned that dance. You can't be aggressive or angry. You do have to be polite and respectful. And that's where I think education comes in. And if you know what some of these hazards are, and you've got some buzzwords, and you know how to communicate, you're going to be a whole lot more effective than if you are angry and start yelling and screaming. So it's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah. I mean, I was in a coma, so I don't know, I don't think my mom yelled at them, but I'm sure she was probably pretty upset. So I don't know what that interaction was like, but you know, that it got the nurse off my case at least. So, you know, from this experience, you wrote the book, and then that led to other things, and then other things, and oh my goodness, you do all kinds of things now. Share a little bit about some of your, you know, lessons or aha moments or learnings that it's like, wow, yeah, this might help other people along the path that, you know, maybe they start with a negative experience like you had, or not, but they're kind of on this journey to, you know, reach the world in a different way. What thing, I'm sure you've learned a ton of stuff along the way. What do you feel like sharing tonight?
I think the biggest thing I learned is that when bad things happen, that it is a sign, and it is a sign to wake up, it's a sign to stand up, it's a sign to move on, it's a sign to think bigger and stronger, and to try to win each day in order to win that whole race, and take it in those little pieces. And, you know, you can get angry and you can get down, but not to let that become who you are, and to stop and think, okay, why did this happen? It didn't happen for random. I mean, something that huge and big doesn't happen. It's not like a stub toe. You know, it happened for a reason. We were all supposed to pay attention to that and get something out of it. And so I think that's been my big aha moment. And sometimes I fall back into, just last week I had to do a really important taping, and I went out with my microphone and I was taping this whole group of people, and I was thinking as I was taping, like, this doesn't look like it's coming along correctly, but I didn't stop. And when I got home, oh my gosh, the whole thing was totally unusable. It just didn't tape, and I was so angry and so upset at it for hours and hours. And then that aha moment hit me. I was like, all right, Pat, guess what? This will never happen to me again. I learned something from it. I'm embarrassed, and you know, I look like an incompetent person for 10 minutes, but I learned something from it, and like I say, I will never do that again. And so even if it's that of a simple of a thing where you just say, all right, I learned a lesson here, will never happen to me again, that's what you've got to take away instead of going down with the whole negativity.
Yeah. Yeah. My husband always teases me because I see signs in everything, you know. So I'll, you know, say, oh, it must be a sign. He says, Bonnie, you see a sign in everything. So, you know, but you're so right. There's a bigger, and this is my belief, there's a bigger plan. We just don't always know what it is, you know, especially when we're in the thick of it. We just don't see the whole picture. We don't see the whole plan.
And that's really true. I always think when I'm in the middle of something where I don't understand it, I always just realize, okay, soon or maybe not, but one day I will be able to look back and understand what all of this meant. So I don't need to understand right now.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's, you know, there's always a reason. I always say this. And people will hear me say this every week, probably. There are no accidents. So anyway, Pat, I want to hear from you. What, like, if you had to give people one piece of advice, and maybe it's what you had just mentioned on the show, I'm not sure, it's sort of the golden nugget. You know, if you want people to take just one thing from this show tonight, what do you want them to take away? It might be what you were just talking about. I'm not sure. What do you think?
Well, I think that's part of it, yes, where when bad things happen, that it's a sign to wake up and it's your opportunity to be bigger and better. But I also would say not to let anything, any situation or any person stand in your way, and not to let anyone say no. You know, so you're thinking of writing a book and you're thinking, no, who's going to publish it? Well, then take charge of that. Or I was going to do a radio commercial and they said, no, you can't do that because hospitals might not like the message that you're saying. And I thought, all right, I can't do a 30-second commercial. How about if I do an entire radio show? And, you know, and so it's one of those things where actually when someone says no to you, that's the time to really fire up and move forward. So those are my pieces of advice. Don't let anything stand in your way, because you can do what you want to do. Put your mind to it, figure it out, and enjoy the journey.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. You know, I have a quote that's kind of hanging on on my desk. I've got all these little, you know, things kind of to remind me. And one says, no means yes, go for it. And it's like, you know, push through it. And so I so agree with that. That's awesome. So what's, I mean, you do a lot of things now. I mean, you've got the book and you do speaking and the radio show and the network and all of those sorts of things. What's next for you? Or is it just maybe continuing those things?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because what next is what I'm doing right this moment. I also just launched a community in our community. It's called Those Radio Kids. And it is a youth-oriented community internet radio station, all for anybody age 21 and under to air their talent, whether it's musical, whether they're in drama. I'm getting involved with the schools and the libraries to incorporate audio within the classrooms, recording story times and those type of things, so that the youth of our community can kind of get off their cell phones and quit all the texting and begin to think about communicating and how to put thoughts into words and words out into the public. And it's been accepted really well. This is my second week. It just launched. We had a really nice newspaper launch, and I've got some very interesting and very cool kids that are coming on board and some serious talent. So I'm just kind of combining. I had studied music in college. That's what my degree is, actually, in music. And I'm combining my music background with my radio and putting it all together. So juggling a lot of things, but that's what makes life fun for me.
Yeah. Wow. That is so cool. And you know, I love that, you know, that it's you paying it forward and giving back and helping our youth. And oh, that's awesome. You know, I have not asked you about more specifics about your charity as well, but I'm curious about Support Our Troops. Can you share a little bit about that? I know it's, you know, vaguely what it's about, but, you know, I'm curious.
Yes, it's a pillowcase project, which seems like a strange thing. But when my mom got out of the hospital after 4.5 months, she really couldn't do anything else. And I would say that the word that described her when she got out of the hospital was gratitude. And she just felt gratitude to be alive. Couldn't really do much, but she was able to sew. So she started making some pillowcases. And that's when we thought, let's send them to the troops in Afghanistan at the time to combat support hospitals, kind of tied in that hospital theme. And then that got me to making them. And now that she can no longer make them, and I'm kind of too busy to make them, when I go out to speak to groups and organizations, many times the sewing groups will offer. And so what we're doing with the proceeds from the book sales and even proceeds from the network, the hosting fees, go toward purchasing fabric for these pillowcases, then we bring them to these local people that do the sewing for us. And now we've expanded to homeless veteran shelters. So we, a lot of times, just hand deliver a box of pillowcases to a homeless veteran shelter, or we even send them to the troops wherever they might need them. So it's been a really fun way to give back and to actually involve the community as well.
Oh, that is just awesome. You are definitely leaving your legacy. You know, you're leaving your mark on the world. That's just so impressive. I'm just grateful to know you. I'm very impressed.
I appreciate that. I'm very impressed with you. I'm glad that we met and we're like-minded people here.
Yeah. Yeah, you can always tell when, you know, it's kindred spirits kind of thing, you know. You can always tell. So, Pat, what's the best way, like, for people who want to know more about Support Our Troops or your radio network or the book or your speaking, what's the best way for them to find you, to connect with you?
The easiest way is through our website, and it's simple. It's speakupandstayalive.com. Speak up and, A-N-D is spelled out, speakupandstayalive.com. And that's where they can hear the past radio programs. We've archived everything. They can get the copy of the book, Speak Up and Stay Alive, the Patient Advocate Hospital Survival Guide. We've got other cool little gizmos and gadgets that keep people safe during any hospital or healthcare encounter. So, yeah, speakupandstayalive.com website is the best way to find us.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. You are doing such a great work in this world. I mean, it's amazing. I'm just blown away. Every time I talk to you, it's like you're doing something else. There's another thing it's just amazing. And I'm so appreciative that you've taken time, because I know you're a busy person, to spend some time with us on the show. So I truly do appreciate that.
Well, it is truly my pleasure, and anytime. I'm proud of your new program. You've got the Gift of Choice and now the Holistic Entrepreneur. So you're out there doing it too, girl. So I appreciate you as well. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for taking time to be with us tonight. And I know that we'll talk again soon, because we stay connected. And again, I just appreciate all that you are giving to all of us in the world. Thank you so much, Pat.
And thank you, and the best to your audience.
What a great show. Thanks so much for tuning in, everyone. Now, you can find The Holistic Entrepreneur on several other internet radio stations, including TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spreaker, and Speak Up Talk Radio. So you can listen on your favorite network. Now, the easiest and the quickest way to find the links to all of these places is to go to my website at bonniegressel.com. And then just click on the radio tab for The Holistic Entrepreneur. All the links to all the other networks are there for you so that you don't have to go searching. And the wonderful gifts that all of our guests have offered can be found there as well. So be sure to access the gift page while you're there. Now, I have another great guest lined up for next week. Let's all pay it forward and pass on this valuable free information to others. Spread the word so that we can reach more people. And you can do that by subscribing, reviewing, and of course, sharing. Until next week, blessings, everyone.
You've been listening to The Holistic Entrepreneur, hosted by Bonnie Gressel. The Holistic Entrepreneur has been brought to you by M&B Global Solutions, your source for individualized coaching for entrepreneurs and authors, along with book editing and publishing services. To learn more, go to mandbglobalsolutions.com.